This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Uncertainty surrounds the Browns for the rest of the season. It's a big mystery, and there's plenty to evaluate in the second half of the season. Oh, wait, we're already past Halloween. I don't know, something like that. Ryder and I, we're going to talk about it on our podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland, including the post-game drops after every game. We love when you're watching us on YouTube, too. So subscribe to the podcast now at 923thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, sponsored locally by our good friends at Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution.
End of the bye week at 2-7. It's obviously a disappointment, and you know, we haven't played well enough. We haven't done the things that are needed to achieve consistent results and consistent wins throughout the season. It's disappointing for us internally, disappointing for our fans, and all of us sharing the record.
Head honcho of football, Andrew Berry. Dwelling on 2-7 and not wanting to look ahead, which, okay, I kind of get it. They're in the middle of a season. There's still eight games to go. But the questions about this team that are interesting and need answers don't involve the final eight games as much as they involve 2025 and beyond.
Hang on. I'm just looking at my checklist for how to hold a press conference when you're 2-7 at the break. And
how'd he do?
He did excellent. If you were looking for a way to play it out media-wise. He did excellent. He walked away from any question about Deshaun based on injury would be his future. He didn't really want to talk about the past. I mean, he got drilled on some pretty hard questions. If you want to think that...
I thought the media folks did a nice job. Yeah, they asked some hard questions.
They did ask some hard questions today. So, but
didn't,
I will tell you this.
Didn't necessarily get answers, and, but, yeah, and I understand that.
And that's Andrew's job,
yep,
is to give you a big picture and not live in the moment and not give you a knee-jerk answer to a question that might sound irritating or to him. You know what I'm saying? But it's, I truly believe a lot of the questions that were asked by the media today were what fans are thinking. I mean, I'm big ups to those guys today because they asked, there were some tough questions in there.
Some takeaways from this. A ton of Deshaun Watson stuff. We'll talk about that much more extensively later in the show. Some of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't want to look ahead, okay? And I understand that except for one thing. That's where the interest lies in this situation right now. The interest does not really lie in the final eight games. The players can talk about the final eight games. They have to play them. They have to work. They have to go out and do their best. The coaches need to do the same thing. The front office better be looking ahead. That doesn't mean you have to share things, and he didn't share much. He did say, I think, the Deshaun Watson, the uncertainty is with his health. He didn't talk about the play as much. And he said the priority is to get him healthy and then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't commit. He didn't commit to, yes, he's our starting quarterback next year. He said the uncertainty is with his health. Let's get him healthy and then we'll go from there.
Yep.
Again, that's kind of vague. He said, we will be able to build a team despite the cap hits and ramifications of the Deshaun Watson contract. I think that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive tackle spot, he didn't want to say DeJuan Jones is our starter. And he didn't want to say Jedrick Wills is not part of this. He said, it's nice to have all three available. Important that they're healthy. And then later, when he was pressed more on DeJuan and the left tackle, we need all three.
Okay. I think he passed media training on how to give an answer that's not going to aggravate anybody, or at least the negative questions about where they're at right now. I think he recognizes the frustration that everybody has.
He's probably more frustrated than anybody.
Yeah, but he didn't really let you in on his emotional part of it. Like, I got to believe that he's not happy that something. How about the question about Paul DePodesta or the incredible
thought partner?
Yes.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
Incredible. I want you to turn to your incredible thought partner today and let them know. Today is Incredible Thought Partner Day, in case you get to know.
I call her that, I might get slapped. Honey, you're an incredible thought partner.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
What's that supposed to mean? Is that the correct response?
No.
What is that supposed to mean?
No. Just get the look.
Who, me?
DTR. Is it important to see DTR? Kevin and the staff will play who gives us the best chance to win. Well,
was that true 2 weeks ago when Jameis looked amazing against the Ravens and probably could have helped you win against the Bengals? Again, he's not looking backwards. He's looking forward.
Maybe there was some unannounced discipline in that situation.
About DTR? About why DTR was the backup in the game?
About Jameis. If the rumblings about changing the 4th-and-1 and handing off for the jet sweep are true, that probably didn't play real well, did it?
Don't you find that hard to believe? One play, that's going to make you the number 2?
I can't imagine one play would get you benched, but whatever. And we don't know that for a fact. And Mary Kay, finally, the one of the last questions, Mary Kay got even more specific. I thought they asked some really good Deshaun Watson questions. Said, is it possible that he could come back here and play? And the answer was, it's always possible. Yes, he could play. He didn't say yes, he could play, but he said it's always possible. Which, of course, if you're on the roster and you're a quarterback, yes, you could play. I would think. However, is that what you want? That's the question that would not get answered.
Is there anything he didn't answer that you want? I mean, not answer. Are there any questions you wanted to hear that didn't get asked?
Oh, I was looking for more specific quarterback stuff, and then it got asked, and you didn't get the specific answers. They're very happy with Ken Dorsey. See, here's the thing, and everybody needs to understand this. You don't have to like it, but you need to understand this. If he's asked about Ken Dorsey, are you happy with Ken Dorsey? He's not going to say, no, we think that it's not working very well. You're not going to say that.
No, and if that was the case, he wouldn't be here right now.
Exactly. They'd have already let him go.
Yeah.
So is there time to let him go after a press conference? Yeah, if you want to make a move, you can make any move. You just can't make a trade anymore. I do think it was interesting when he was asked about Kevin Stefanski. And Kevin's an outstanding coach, is what Andrew said.
Yeah, I mean, he put his resume up against guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
Right, and he's a part of this. I'm glad of that. I think Kevin is a good coach. What I would like to see for Kevin, Andy, and see if a guy's going to take the hit for this, anybody, it shouldn't be Kevin Stefanski in my estimation. And I say that for this reason. Though Andrew Berry said, and he was asked, he said everybody was on board when it came to Deshaun Watson. It wasn't a mandate. It wasn't his decision. Everybody was on board. My guess is the guy whose opinion mattered the least in that is Kevin Stefanski. I would think ownership's opinion mattered the most. And I would think Paul DePodesta, the incredible thought partner, and Andrew Berry would be the next two opinions in line, not necessarily in that order. It's clearly an ownership call because the ownership had to write the check and the ownership had to be okay with the franchise giving up number one picks and pick swaps and everything else and all kinds of things and all kinds of things. Not pick swaps, but extra picks. And so it's ownership, and then it's DePodesta and Barry. You can be sure Kevin Stefanski didn't walk into the Haslam's office and say, hey, I have an idea. That's not the coach's job.
No, and I think Kevin lives by the coach's Hippocratic
oath.
I can only play the players you give me.
I can coach who's there.
I don't know any way you want to look at it. That's how coaches survive, right?
Yes.
Now, he may have had someone on his roster at another team and can go to the general manager and say, you know, this guy can offer us this to help out our team, or I think we're missing this piece. But at the end of the day, managers, head coaches, you know, they're not out recruiting the players. This isn't college. And they'll play with whoever the general manager hands them. That's all it is. And their job is to coach them up. If they're not doing what you want, you got to make sure that they figure out a way to get that done. Otherwise, you're not going to be successful. And how many coaches have you said this? Because I truly believe this is the backbone of every coach or manager. Their job is basically a teacher. They're an educator.
Well, that's the idea.
You know, and that's why so many great, like college football, it used to be so many great college football coaches took their job as being an educator first and then a coach second. I don't know.
So, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not going into deep thoughts on this.
Andy took me back to graduation. All my great educators.
Did you want me to give you the speech?
No. I've heard the speech.
Which one?
You consulted with us.
This one.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
Yeah, we were your thought partners.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And this was all you came up with. Life is way too short.
That's what I was waiting for.
Life is way too short.
Oh, thank God it's there.
Everything's buried.
Isn't the echo in there, though? That, it just sounds so grandioso, right? The reverb on that?
Well, here. I mean, we can try.
That's nice.
Life is way too short.
Thank you.
Really nice.
Graduates of Baskin and Phelps University, I salute
All right,
you.
Stop.
At the end,
an incredible thought partner.
That's right. Is he going to regret saying that forever?
You're damn right he is.
Oh, we're going to beat the snot out of that thing.
So let me ask you, now that you have that drop, are you glad we play press conferences? Because that gave you a little bit of
He could have gotten it even if we didn't
I would have gotten it. We would have recorded it in the back and I would have cut it. Save everybody half an hour of air.
I understand completely that Andrew Berry didn't want to look ahead. Do you folks? 216-474-0092. But it sure makes me look forward to something coming up in mid-January. I can't wait for that one.
Say it.
What?
What you're looking forward to.
The next Andrew Berry press conference at the end of the season.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
Exactly. Mike Vrabel's under contract. We like him. That was about all that
press
came out of
it. Where you ask questions and I barely answer them.
Yeah.
He gets it, man.
And nothing going forward, which gives me pause. 216-474-0092, the number to join us. Love to hear your thoughts. And we're going to also hear the thoughts coming up next of our buddy Andrew Siciliano. Calling the Browns game coming up on Sunday. We're going to hear from Andrew on Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here. Andrew Siciliano.
Like it?
Joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Andrew, I consider you a friend, even though we don't know each other extremely well, but I like you and I consider you a friend and an incredible thought partner. Incredible thought partner.
Oh, yeah. The incredible thought partner is just, it's the new thing. All the kids are saying it.
I mean, I caught that too.
God, I love it.
I mean, listen, it's a different way of saying he's a great guy to bounce things off of, and, you know, we work together. Thought partner is a different way to say it. But
incredible.
I get it.
Thought partner.
I translated it. I got it. You know?
Okay, we're going to have way too much fun with that.
Jeff is.
I get it completely. If I if I'm Andrew Berry, I'm happy with the way I handled it. If I'm a media trainer for anybody who speaks in the Browns organization, I'm pleased with the way Andrew handled himself today. I thought he did a nice job. Gosh, I sure wanted to hear about things moving past this year, Andrew. We didn't hear very much, but I get it. I get it because he's in the moment still.
Yeah, and listen, this one's tough because, and I apologize, guys, for my lethargy. It's early here, but more importantly, I'm kind of under the weather and I'm just pounding headache, but thank you. No, it's okay. It's not about me.
You're better.
I'm just saying I apologize for my lack of energy right now. These press conferences are tough because for those who don't know, and I'm sure you guys have explained it to everyone, the GMs of the 32 teams generally only speak once during the regular season, and that is during the bye. For some teams, that bye is week 5, and it's 6 weeks before the trade deadline, and there really isn't a lot to talk about during the week 5 bye. For others, there is a lot to talk about, like Andrew Berry this morning. But you often don't have a lot of answers. Like, I get all the questions about Deshaun. They were very pointed, direct questions that needed to be asked that the fans want answered. Totally get it. I don't know what answer would have been satisfactory. Let's play a thought partner experiment, if we could, okay?
Okay, nice,
hang on a second.
Nice.
I'm close my eyes. Hang on, I'm going to dim the lights in here.
I like this a lot.
Candles.
Okay. Eyes wide open, and Creed is awful. But let's say... Let's say that Andrew Berry came out right now and said, I do not see a scenario in which Deshaun Watson is back at quarterback. And again, we're playing make-believe. Then where are they organizationally?
Exactly.
Like, there is no purpose served other than sending a message to the fans, and it's one that I'm sure many fans would have appreciated. There's no purpose served to that. So... I know that's what some people want to hear. You're not going to hear that. So with these scenarios, I always like to step back and say, like, do you really think you're going to get answers that you want? And this goes for any GM or any coach. There's only so many things organizationally that you can say, whether it comes to leverage or game strategy or whatever, you know?
Agreed. I agree with that.
And now, I do think it's notable that at the very end, he said, you know, I can't remember who asked the question, but I think it was basically, do you see any scenario in which Deshaun is back? And he said, yes.
Yes.
Of course you have to say that as well.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you say, no, I don't think so, as you said, Andrew, well, then where are you? What do you do? Chaos. Everybody's like, okay, well, he had to say that. I get it. Plus,
now, I also understand if somebody right now, you know, sitting on the 480 bridge wants to push back and say, well, if he said, like, well, it's not as if he's ruining trade leverage because there is none. I get that pushback as well. But you just really don't get many grand declarations mid-season.
Nope.
I mean, he's not going to say, guys, we're drafting a quarterback in the first round. No one's going to say that. We call it lying season, not right now, and I want to be careful, I'm not calling him a liar. I'm saying in the NFL Network newsroom for years, when every GM would have their pre-draft press conference in March, right, or early April or mid-April, right before the draft, GMs go out there attempting to deceive at that point. Like, let me throw some breadcrumbs out there to throw people off for the draft so I can get the guy that I want. You know, it's a game, people.
Are you surprised? I guess there's two questions. Are you surprised the Browns didn't make more moves yesterday? And then, big picture, are you surprised there weren't more moves in the NFL? Or do we want this to be like baseball trade deadline, which it'll never be?
No, I think yes and yes. I don't need it to be baseball trade deadline. Football is a much different game. You can't just trade for somebody's left fielder with 28 home runs and drop him into the lineup the next morning and expect him to fit in seamlessly. Football is much different. We all know that. I am mildly surprised that maybe some other pieces, veteran pieces, weren't moved by the Browns. I think they could have. I think they could have justified it. But you know, you also have to get a return. If you look at the Za'Darius Smith trade, you know, I know there are people that say, well, why can't you get a compensatory pick? You weren't going to get one. He had a year left on his contract. That's not how it works. It's kind of a funny money deal, but there is a year left on that contract. And so the Browns would have had to have cut him in the offseason, which is likely, you know, obviously a team in transition perhaps, and you're not going to pay a 33-year-old defensive end $12 million. But they wouldn't have got him a compensatory pick. If you look at what they gave to the Vikings to get him last year, they basically got back the same compensation. So, I mean, they're no worse for wear in that regard. You got a five for a guy who's going to be 33 next year and wasn't going to be on your roster. It's a wash.
Right.
Za'Darius Smith played well for them, and they got back what they gave up. It's a wash. It was a win, period. There wasn't a second-round pick out there for a 33-year-old defensive end. Those don't happen. So the Amari trade, again, they got back more than they gave up for a player that's 3 years older. Actually, 4 years, 3 years older. So, you know, those trades are what they are. I think they're good value trades. Don't shoot the messenger. You could have gotten perhaps a bigger return for other pieces on your roster, but they chose to hold those pieces.
Three offensive tackles. They're healthy. That's good. And we need them all. What do you need moving forward? What do you need next year? I can't imagine a world where if DeJuan Jones plays well at left tackle, he's not the starter. And Andrew, I love that idea.
But I don't mind the idea. I don't mind the idea at all. I mean, you have to see how he does for the eight games.
Yes.
So I think that's a positive if that works. Now, the flip side of that is, well, you have a first-round pick on his fifth year who isn't playing there. Maybe you use the second half of the season to see if you could find another spot for him on this line. Maybe it's inside. Don't know. But if you go back to training camp, we're kind of in a position now where we thought we would be in June or July. And that is, guys, what if all three tackles are healthy? Because the assumption was that Jack Conklin and DeJuan Jones would be back sometime during camp, at least ready for early September, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we are. It's where we thought we would be. And right now the answer is Jed is sitting and Conklin and DeJuan are playing. I think Jack Conklin's number moving forward is somewhat problematic. He was one of those guys where I would not have been surprised if somebody would have called. You know, the big offensive tackle need was filled by the Vikings with Cam Robinson last week,
mm-hmm.
who also, much like Jed Wills, is a former first-round pick, or maybe he was high second, I can't remember, but he's on a second contract. Jed's still on his first.
Let me take that back. Let's go this way. I think if there was one thing going into the season that went incredibly wrong, it was the judgment, the thought, whatever it was, that what you just said would be the case, that you would have these tackles back. And when they didn't come back healthy, you know, all three of them were coming back, that threw things in such a loop, Andrew, that
yeah.
I think that you're looking at it now, 2-7. Who knows what happens if two of those three guys are healthy and good to go?
Yeah, and it goes beyond that as well. Obviously, the injuries at center and the rotating door there.
Sure.
Now Posick is back healthy.
Then Teller gets hurt.
Wyatt Teller got hurt in September, and September, October, whenever it was. All I know is that he deserves some credit for coming back in exactly 4 weeks' time from that injury. I mean, they opened the window. He jumped through the window and was back on the field 3 days later, so good for him. But, Zach Zinner playing right guard. And yeah, the consistency on the offensive line this past week against the Chargers was the first time since week two that they had the same lineup on the O-line in back-to-back weeks. Now week two is different. It was DeJuan, obviously right side, and Hudson left side. But they had not had back-to-back consistent starting O-lines since week two. And you need that. You're not going to win without that.
I find it interesting that he had to defend Kevin Stefanski a little bit today. And the resume he put out of guys that have won two-time Coach of the Year I thought was impressive, because I don't know that we spend a lot of time thinking about that. And I also think if you're looking at Kevin Stefanski, I hope that ownership is looking at it from the big picture standpoint too, because you know, we've had so much inconsistency at coach and quarterback here since 99. You know it. I don't have to tell you that. What did you think about his answer about, you know, Kevin being an outstanding coach and the way fans maybe are looking at it right now, because they want to blame somebody for this 2-7, and it's really easy to blame the coach.
Yeah, no, it totally is, and I'm glad Andrew did it, and I agree with him. I'll be perfectly blunt. I mean, I said it on this show last week or 2 weeks ago. I was surprised he gave up play calling. I didn't think that was the right move for my money. I'm not questioning his decision. It certainly worked the first week. I think Jameis Winston in Kevin's offense with Kevin calling plays, that would have been my preferred choice, period. But if you looked at the first game, it really was kind of sort of Kevin's offense, right? I mean, they came out in 12 personnel, first couple of plays, ran the ball downhill, play fake, threw it to Dave. And again, I'm going back to the Baltimore game. It really was Kevin's offense. Last week, they had to get out of it because they fell behind early, had the explosives given up on defense. They had to throw the ball 45 times. So it didn't look like his offense. What is it moving forward? I don't know. Where do they find the happy medium between the two quote-unquote offenses? They'll tell you it's only one offense, it's not two, which honestly, that is the case, but you know what I'm saying. How that looks moving forward, got no clue.
Andrew Siciliano joining us. You'll hear him after the bye week, calling the Browns game in New Orleans coming up on November 17th. Andrew, I thought it was interesting when he was asked about Dorian Thompson-Robinson, if it was important for the staff to see him the rest of the season. He said, Kevin and the staff will play who gives you the best chance to win. I know there's been a big thought. You've got to see what you have in DTR. You have to see what you have in DTR. I like the guy. I think he's interesting. Do you have to see what you have in a guy you took in the fifth round, or do you just have him here, and if you ever have to play him, you just play him?
So full disclosure, the online stream kind of fizzled out. Might have been my internet at home for about 3 minutes in the middle. So I missed that answer.
Yeah.
But I will say that I would like to see him. I've made that clear. I like him. I liked him here at UCLA. I liked him before the draft. I think he's shown some signs, particularly in the preseason, that he could play in this league. I also think that not that Andrew contradicted himself, but he did also in the presser say that there comes a point in any season, and noted Cedric Tillman, where player development certainly is a little more in focus than at other parts. And so I think you can, you know, parse both of those thoughts and find a scenario in which DTR is on the field. Because, listen, if there's pushback from the fan base saying we haven't seen anything, I don't think he's a franchise guy, that's fine. Finding out whether or not he's a legitimate NFL reliable backup on a rookie contract is significant as well, because those are valuable pieces if that's what you have. And I think he can, at a minimum, be that guy. And I'm all for finding it out at one point.
You think you have to play him to find that out? You can't find that out in practice and such?
You cannot find that out in practice.
Okay.
To quote Allen Iverson, not a game. We're talking about practice, Philip.
Practice?
That's fabulous.
Talking about practice. All right, give me what you're looking forward to watching here now down the stretch after the break.
Eight games to go, baby.
Yeah, give me perspective.
I want to go see a win in New Orleans. Is that too much to ask for? Look, you're facing a team. Granted, they have a game this week. You're facing a team, friends, that just fired its head coach and is in turmoil. And Jameis Winston can go in there and beat them. I mean, they just traded one of their top 2-3 players, Marshawn Lattimore. They are waving a flag, at least, you know, and that's a little bit much. I'm not saying them giving up, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So I would like to go get a win. And that's what, and I've said this so many times, was so disappointing about the Chargers game, because even though I am the eternal optimist and people can call me delusional, there was a path. You beat the Chargers, you rest up during the bye. Even if you trade to Darius Smith, you're fine. I mean, you move on and you face a team next week that is in turmoil, and then you get to 4-6 and you come home and you get the Steelers on a short week where the home team always has the advantage and there's a history of beating them at home here in primetime. So they can still do all those things, except they just have one more loss in the loss column, which is not good for anybody.
Does Jameis intrigue you at all at quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, of course, we saw it work against Baltimore and it defined intrigue. Yes, he intrigued.
Intrigue, as in, if you started next season and he was your starter, what would you think?
Not there yet. You got the second half of the season. I think that's unfair. I mean, listen, Jameis is still a guy. And by the way, I say listen too much these days. I'm self-scouting.
I've always liked him, if you want to know the truth, Andrew.
He threw for 5,100 yards.
Exactly.
He also threw 30 picks.
Well, there's that.
there is that. And we did go all week last week cautiously saying it was fun, it was awesome, but
it was the worst pass defense in the NFL at the time.
And not only that, but they came in with multiple players, significant players, injured and inactive from the worst pass defense in the NFL.
Right.
So throw that on top. And they also dropped a couple of would-be picks, and that the Chargers weren't going to drop those would-be picks. So you can't throw them. You still throw them. So that's going to be an issue. It is a roller coaster. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes you're throwing your hands up and screaming woo down the hill, and sometimes you're not.
I'll paraphrase. Yeah. I just lost it when I heard Nathan say during the game, Jameis has an uncanny ability to throw the ball and have all pro safeties not intercept it.
Drop it.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
No, if you play it back, I laugh. I tackled.
Yes, you
as
did.
Well. It was the second straight week Nathan had gotten me. He had a Mahmoud Diabate pun the week before, where I got to dinner that night, and my cousin looked at me and said, he got you pretty good there, didn't he? And, yep, he did.
Great to have you with us, buddy. Enjoy the bye week. Get healthy.
Thank you.
You got it.
Let's even double down on that. Ryan Day and the Buckeyes passed another test, and the first college football playoff rankings are out. We're going to talk about him about them in a second. You heard Spencer German just now. He breaks it all down on the Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app at 923thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes each week during the college football season. Should be a good one to listen to this week.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan is flying the ship today, and Mackenzie Flume is taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. The poll is out in college football.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think it's interesting. I think it goes back to, you know, what I said when Ohio State lost to Oregon by 1 point. You know, you're talking about two of the top teams in the country going head-to-head. Ohio State was on the road, and they lost by a point. It did mirror a lot of the Notre Dame game, I thought, from last year. But now, doesn't that make you want to have a rematch? Makes me want to see Ohio State play Oregon again. And when you look at the way the first bracket reveal and rankings, it's not really, it is a bracket reveal too, that, you know, you see what's in front of you and how you can get there. I got to be honest, I'm more intrigued with college football now than I ever have been before.
Oh my God.
I've always loved college football, but I love the fact that the transfer portal has shaken things up so that it's not always the same names. Yeah, Ohio State's one of those names that's always there. They're a blue blood. But by the same token, the fact that we're talking about Indiana, we're talking about BYU, come on, Boise State. You know, teams have a chance to have a national championship, and I do think that the transfer portal has changed everything. It's given guys that might be backups at Ohio State the opportunity to go somewhere else and play, and I think it's made college football better, especially at the upper levels. And schools that want to get into the game right now with NIL and that transfer portal are able to. I just think college football, it's always been exciting to me, but I kind of like it now. I like not being able to predict every game, you know?
And you know what I really like, and I touched on this early. Like right now, looking at the rankings, Oregon's on top, 9-0.
Right.
Okay. Then Ohio State and Georgia, both 7-1. Miami's undefeated, 9-0. Then Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, all 7-1. I love the fact that this has a little bit more of an NFL feel to it now.
Yeah.
Which to me is this. Did you play a good team? Did you just get smashed? No, you played a good game and lost. You shouldn't be penalized heavily for that. Your chances of winning a national championship should not be over. You should have an opportunity. You shouldn't be dumped 10 spots in the poll.
Mm-hmm.
Like Penn State, good football team. Played Ohio State well. They're sixth.
Yeah.
That's terrific. I like that a lot. I think I think it's a better way of going about it, and it's what should have been done for years, but really wasn't quite to this extent, I think.
I also am looking forward to the playoff for the simple reason that teams don't have to go lame duck if they're not in the Final Four. And when I say that, I mean, how many guys will continue to play in the college football playoff and not end their season early because they're worried about getting hurt in a bowl game?
Oh,
I'm wondering how that's going to play out. If you're in the top 12 and you make the playoffs, are you really going to sit out?
Yes.
You're going to sit out for the pros? I don't think so.
Some kids will.
Dan, what do you think?
I think you're going to see it. I think you're going to see a chunk of quarterbacks going back and going, hey, I can make X amount of cash. I think you're going to run into it when franchises that aren't exactly in the best of shape are sitting high in the draft. I wonder if you run into it even then.
But if you're a surefire top 2-3 pick.
Are you playing if you're,
I don't think you're playing.
Oh, you're playing.
I 100% think you're playing in the playoffs.
I think you're playing.
There will be some kids. I didn't say quarterbacks. I said some kids.
It just depends who you are, I think.
Oh, I think you're playing. And even on top of that
They're not all going to play, guys.
They are. I think they will.
Oh, I got a feeling this could be a part of
something. Let's write this down. Let's write down this moment, and we'll see how many guys who are in a top 12 team that make the playoffs bow out because they think they're going to, especially with NIL money.
And what if
all of a sudden you're a top prospect and not getting really good NIL money? Hey, you guys got paid. Good. I'm glad that fill in the blank state is taking care of you. I'm going to let the Carolina Panthers take care of me. Thank you.
You know, if you're a junior and they might have the college now has the opportunity to get you that money early.
Well, by God,
I don't know.
Let's sit down and chat there, sir.
Yeah, I don't think
like you to meet my banker. Here's Mr. Chase.
Hi, Mr. Chase. How are you? Oh, you know me already? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, those letters you've been sending me? I'm sorry. It's just a little late. I think the college game has gotten better because of all this stuff. I do think, though, what are you guys doing?
What? Just making dumb faces. Oh. Thought partner, you know? Incredible thought partner.
You guys are. You are. I want to see how this whole thing plays out. I'm really excited about it.
Well, so the Caleb Williams base salary this year for going 1-1 is $795,000. So he was the first one who came out, if my memory serves me well, and said, I took a pay cut to join the NFL from what he was getting at USC. I wonder if a chunk of these guys are like, heck yeah, I'm going to play through these playoffs because I can make even more money in NIL and I'm not having to take a pay cut.
The outside linebacker who stepped up and had a great season and is suddenly a first-round draft choice might be the type of guy who says, thanks, fellas. I'm done. It was a great year.
Unless some booster comes by and goes, here's an NFL.
Well, that's not. I didn't.
Get out there and win us a title,
I'm not saying that's not possible, did I?
Nay.
It might be possible.
I'm waiting for the guys that hold out and stay in college for another year because they don't want to play for a pro team, like Mike Florio said. That's going to be the big one.
I think that's legit, especially if you're getting NIL money. I think that's really interesting.
Yep.
Trade deadline came and went in the National Football League. What's it mean in the AFC North? And what's it mean to the Browns? It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.